This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 687 with guest Seth Johnson, recorded on August 27th, 2026. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a beautiful fall's almost here. Seth, fall never comes to Florida, right? It's always summer in Florida.
Always summer. Yeah.
Always summer. I'm sorry.
I was just looking at the temperature. It's like 98. Today and yeah, it's just it's been awful.
I don't know how you do that. It's, you know, it's gonna sink eventually, right? The water's gonna come up and
yeah. I'll have beachfront property.
It'll be okay.
Toxic beachfront, but yeah, it'll be worth it.
It'll be okay. All right. Well, we got some. We'll have some tips. Maybe some tips on staying cool. Maybe not. You can check them out at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. You guys should do it every single month. Big thank you. If you want to join that team, we have $1 $5 plan. theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. And then a big thanks to our folks using the affiliate link out there at theaverageguy.tv. Just there's upper right-hand corner, there's a little pass-through. If you're going to buy on Amazon, just click on that. It'll take you right through. Nothing more you need to do. It'll set the cookie or whatever it does on Amazon, and it helps out the network. Appreciate you doing that as well. Seth, part two. We tried this 3 weeks ago to a massive fail. I haven't done any podcasting since. Welcome back. Good to have you.
I'm glad you didn't walk away from the business, Jim.
I almost quit. Actually, it was an easy, like that night, I was like, you know what? Old Jim would have forced this thing to work. And we would have had terrible video. You would have been great.
You don't want that. Yeah.
I would have not been great. Yeah. People have been like, Jim, why did you do that? The new Jim, it's like, well, we'll do it again 3 weeks from now. So yeah. Thanks for coming back. Appreciate you.
And, oh, no worries. No worries.
Yeah.
I'm glad to get come on and finally defend my honor from those scoundrels, TJ and Gavin.
They beg to be on the show all the time.
They're brutal.
They're always on, just making a mess of things. TJ, last week, I was going to do a solo show. TJ was out in the audience. I went 25 minutes on mute, and he didn't even say anything. So I don't know. Can you trust TJ?
No. Well, I would say no. I mean, just knowing TJ, don't trust him. I'm on the live stream now. Did you start that, or is it up later?
Yeah, okay. No, we're live.
Oh, maybe I just refresh the page.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on over hometech.fm? Give us a little update. What are you guys talking about over there? I said that fast, but for regular listeners, hometech, all one word, .fm. What's going on over there?
Let's see, what's going on? It's Cedia time. So the professional show is next week, which I get to attend for work.
So, nice.
Yeah.
Yes and no. When you're actually expected to do some things, they're not as fun.
Right? It's not as bad. In the past, I worked for a smaller company, and I was kind of the person who designed the booth and then had to program it, had to set it up, had to solder a bunch of wiring for LED lights the day, because we didn't have the booth built until the very last minute. So it was like construction project, cut holes for speakers in wood here, you know. The night before the show opens, and you still have to have it programmed and all the dust cleaned off the day of. So I don't have to do that at all now. I just have to show up and look pretty, and I plan on doing one of those. So,
trade shows are you know, there's good and bad in them, right? I mean, they're kind of fun, but then they're kind of work too, right?
And
you got people coming in all the time. When you're running a booth, I've done podcast interviews out of booths before, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But then you got to do all the setup. You got people coming in and out, interviews, whatever you're deciding to do. So that's coming up. When is that? How far out is that for you?
It's next week. It'll be on, I think, Tuesday through Friday Friday, maybe Saturday. I guess the show starts on Wednesday, but they have the education stuff running all week.
Yeah.
But in Denver,
where
Colorado.
Is it at? In Colorado?
Denver, yeah.
This time of year, Denver, Colorado?
It's hit or miss. It's hit or miss. Like I've been there and it's been nice and cool and freezing. And I'm like, I should have bought a jacket. And then I've been there and it's like Florida.
So. But it's dry. It's always dry.
So yeah,
like it's not humid at all. So the temperature is what they say it is. None of these dew points. Like, remember we used to have like wind chill and humidity. Now it's dew points. Like that's the dew points are the big thing in the weather space. So.
We still talk about humidity here. I don't know
if or do you? Well, no.
Well, yeah, the heat index is what we really focus
on
here,
so. Yeah, no, they do mention a heat index or real feel is sometimes what we hear, the real feel. And then and you guys probably don't get this as much. We grow a lot of corn out here and they say corn sweat.
No.
So when it gets really hot, the corn sweats. I'm not joking. They call it corn sweat. They'll be like, yeah, down in Maryville, which is a couple hours from here. It's a big farming community. Yeah, the corn sweat is making the dew point, 4 degrees.
It's a real thing. Like, it's an thing. Actual. Oh, okay.
They talk about it seriously. did you just say corn sweat on TV? Is that what really happened here?
It's a scientific fact that corn is going to produce that. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay. We said Beetlejuice 3 times. Both
they're here.
Gavin checked in. He said he heard his name. And TJ checked in. Oh, hi, Seth. He's checking in there. And so good to see you, Gavin and TJ. Good to see you guys. TJ left me out strung me out last week. So TJ, if you just would have said, if you would have listened for 1 minute and said, Jim, you're muted, that would have saved all of last week's podcast. For those who don't know, I was going to do a solo show. My guest had a conflict, couldn't come in here. So I was going to go solo and I went 20 minutes with the mic muted. And I was so deflated at that point. That's the disadvantage to going solo, right? Is you just don't know. You guys at hometech.fm, don't do that. And probably a good thing that I shouldn't do that either. Okay, let's talk about some gadgets. Seth, you had mentioned in the notes that you sent over to me. It is, we're coming up on holiday lighting season. And I got sent at the end of the season last year, I got sent some LePro. Kind of some, the new lighting style, they're kind of, I'd say they're about this big RGB. They come in strings of 100 feet. You can program them. You can work on them. I've been super impressed with them. Mm-hmm. But as you're thinking about your lighting coming up for the holidays, what are you thinking about? I mean, are you already all in on lighting? Is this something you're thinking about doing? Talk a little bit about that.
All in. Yeah, well, I'm all in with like almost no plan, but that's not natural for me. I have been trying to do the pixelity stuff for years before. And I saw the people running what is that Light-O-Rama or whatever that program thing is years ago, where they were like flashing their lights and they used a computer to program it. I'm like, oh, this is amazing! You can send MIDI or something. I don't know what it is. You can do something. And there's obviously been better stuff developed over the last number of years. And the shows have gotten bigger and crazier. And there's entire YouTube channels dedicated to showing, like, programming these things and setting up sequences and all that. But, yeah, I've got slowly, this is over time, I've got a few thousand of those little LEDs, probably 3 or 4, I guess, at this point. And the reason is because like when you put everything up, you have to have a count of the LEDs. Like every single one of them has to be counted for. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, they're individually addressable. Right?
Yeah, exactly. You can make one LED turn on.
Is this kind of what we're talking about? This style of lighting that I'm sure. Oh,
no. Oh. Go to, the site, I actually, it's the worst website in the world. And the customer services and all that. Well, the customer service is great if you know who you're talking to. Expecting to talk to the person's knowledgeable, and they will help you, but they don't have. They're kind of dry. It's Holiday Coro, so Holiday Coro, and they kind of stand for like the corrugated plastic board that they make the street signs out of. They have like thicker versions, like maybe a half inch thick or something, and they will poke little holes in that and sell it to you. And it sounds like an operation. But they're actually very competitively priced, and you get all the little props, and you can
Is this what we're talking about? Did they get
That kind of thing with the crazy light show thing.
All right.
Yeah,
all
right. I don't go that crazy. I don't like that. But I do want to change my house colors. You know, I don't want it to be all white or all colors. Like I want to change it out. I want to have the choice. If I want it to be colorful, or if I want it to be a candy cane, or if I, you know, go back and forth between things. So that's what I like about it.
Yeah. It reminds me of the Light Bright. Did you ever have a Light Bright when you were a kid?
Yes.
Right. It's kind of like a big adult Light Bright, right?
It does. But I don't know if you can see it. They have that crazy house background running in a loop on there. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. Let's get on. No, you can't.
There's probably some videos of things
out there.
Yeah. But do you see, like, there's a way you can light the house up using floodlights? I don't know if you see those popping up. And they have floodlights you can get, which I like a lot better than the little pixel lights. The pixel lights are just good for, you know, outlining things and doing Christmas trees. Or last year I wrapped my...
This is your floodlight right here, right?
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Yep.
Yep. Okay.
So you can really light the whole house. Yeah, change the whole house and light things up. And it that looks fun when you do that. And then I think it's a little more subtle. And then you can add the little pieces in, the little, you know, sparkle lights for, you know, pizzazz, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. 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 No, that's good. That's kind of cheating in my book, to be honest. Like a floodlight, like I'm expecting a ladder and like climbing the ladder.
Oh, no, I do that. I outline the whole house and roof. So yeah. And the ladder climbing was a little extra fun last year. I had a bunch of lights left over and another controller. So one of the things they sell in here, and you can get, they have these like controllers that I think they call them, I don't know what they, Hinks Picks or something like that. I don't know. I've used them before in a commercial setting because I needed to have something like this run a bunch of these little LEDs, and it worked great. And I'm like, I like that enough. I would buy it myself. And it's not expensive. It's just, if you buy it all at once, it is. So like, I think the controller, a few $100, and then to get like the little things that you can run out, maybe $70-$80. And so over time you just accumulate things, right?
Yeah.
And the one thing I ran last year was I took the telephone pole that I think we talked about this right before the show. The power company had abandoned, and there's really nothing on there except Comcast cable, which nobody cares about at all. So I climbed up that thing and made a giant candy cane out of it. So I ran these lights all the way down, and it was kind of like the Christmas tree effect that you see here, but it was just a column of lights. And so then as you're coming down the street, you see this candy cane like at the end of the street. Like, what the heck is that?
That so, is awesome.
Yeah.
Are you going
to, okay,
let me show this one again. Are you going for this effect? I don't know why all of a sudden I'm having trouble sharing the screen, but let's just get there. Is this the kind of look you're looking for? And they got some of these, I was showing these a second ago. They got these moving
mouth things. Yeah.
Right. And so they have different levels and you set them to kind of go with the music, right? Is that
there's a whole thing. You can animate the you can take the music. There's a couple guys in town that do this. And they will have 20 to 30 people in lawn chairs across the street from their houses just watching their sequences all night. And we go watch them too. We just pull up and watch like two or three songs and then leave, but there are people there for the show. It's like a show every night.
Yeah.
And
it's a big deal in Nebraska. Like, that you drive around neighborhoods to find there's certain neighborhoods mm-hmm. that do all.
Yeah, we know where they all are now. Yeah. I just like it because I get to, I mean, no one's going to come to my house. You're not going to find my house. Like, I'm at a dead end street and like, no one's going to just naturally be driving and see it. I just do it for me and my own fun. But I want to start a little earlier this year. Because Halloween's kind of big and getting a little Halloween decoration set up is always fun.
I think so. Do you have lights on? Like, so the Eve lights, the mm-hmm. ones around, do you leave those up all year long or do you set them up and take them down?
I don't have those. I have those pixel lights that I use for that. And the way they mount up doesn't look great all year. So the wife acceptance factor is not there. It's not the permanently installed ones.
Okay.
So I have to take them down. But if they could stay up all year, I would leave them because I'm lazy. But I ended up just pulling them down. And I've got a system now with some PVC pipe and some clamps that makes it real easy to just pop in and out. So
those lights I was showing you earlier, those Le Pro, let me see if I can bring them back up. One of the smartest things I did with those, because I did not want to, here they are. I did not want to permanently mount them. You know, I just didn't want to put a whole bunch of screw holes or, you know, those stickers are not, there's stickers on the back of each one.
Yeah.
Right? And they're each addressable. So you could go in and address every single one and program every single one to do all the, that's just that's too much work for
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
I want to go into the app.
Run the thing. Yeah. Make it, it's St. Patrick's Day. Make it green. Yeah.
I want to look cool.
I'm the same way. I just chose a different route.
Then. Yeah. No, right on. Right on. But one of the things I did with these is I actually, I took wood shims and I cut them down to not the full, you know, you get a wood shim. It's probably about that big, right? Mm-hmm. The wood shims you shim a door with, or you can buy them at the hardware store for like a nickel, right? And cut those in half or maybe a little less than half. Then I mounted the light to the part of the shim and then just slid the shim underneath the siding. Because I have both on the top and the bottom, I've got siding that or the soffit.
Works. Yep.
Yeah. And it was actually, so now, like if I want to change them, I can just go.
Just pull them down. Yeah.
Just pull them down and then they can go back in, right? They can go back in. During the show, we did a show on this, but during that show, I said, you know, somebody could easily make a 3D printed, and we're going to talk about your CNC here at the end, but somebody could easily make a 3D printed one where that light would snap into it and then it would have a, you know, maybe 2 or 3 inches worth of flat, and then that would slide underneath your siding. Mm-hmm. And you could install these things without ever having to put a single screw hole. Because this is what I was afraid of, 100 screw holes.
Yeah, especially siding. if you have siding and you can't, that's not easily repaired. So,
Or even wood, to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to put a whole bunch of, you say you're going to leave them up. Okay, these are forever or whatever. They're not. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had a season now. We put these up, you know, in the winter last year. Even with some of the pro lights you have, do you ever get, like, are they lasting as long as you want to? Or do you see some breakdown in them of either setting them up and taking them down all the time or being up too long?
I will let you know this year, because for the past 3 years, I haven't taken down the pixel lights that are mounted to the top of the roof.
And they're still...
Who's going to know? Right. They don't look like they're in good shape, but we'll see if they turn on. They turned on last year and they work perfectly fine.
Okay.
But you know, who knows what's going to happen this year?
When will you go out and test them to make sure they're?
I'll probably start bringing stuff out through September because I want to have October ready for Halloween and. You know, again, we live in a cul-de-sac in a neighborhood that, you know, is just full of old people. So we don't get kids or anything. It's just for me and my wife to enjoy Halloween decorations and my daughter. And we have a couple kids in the neighborhood that play out in the end of the circle here. So, it's just for that. So
we didn't have ours up for Halloween. So last year we got them up right after Thanksgiving, right before Christmas, which was nice. So this year I'll have Halloween. So we'll be doing orange and white and all those other kinds of things. Yeah. Then Thanksgiving. But I got a question for you. What do I do for Labor Day? Like Labor Day in the United States is coming up. What's the color? Like I'm still running red, white, and blue from the 4th of July, right?
I think you have to do anything. Is that what it is? It's like celebrates not working? I don't know.
What color scheme do I do for Labor Day, right? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe at my neighbor across the street, we've had a little bit of a challenge. Do you know anybody else set up lights since you've been doing this? Has anybody else been inspired to set up lights in your neighborhood?
Not to this level. There's a couple that have the lights like you have. And I don't know if they're like the Govee versions because those Govee made the rounds. But there's a couple kind of a younger, like you have to realize like where I live, there's not too many young people. So, but there's a couple that's a little, you know, young, like your age, Jim.
My age. Thank you.
No, I'm serious, Jim. You're young around here. You're young.
Love it. I get it.
Yeah, when the average age, I think the town south of here, the average age in that town was like 79 or 80 or something like that. I'm like, average? How do you? I know how average works. That doesn't make any sense.
maybe it's a geometric mean. Who knows? Who knows? But have you had anybody set? You said maybe some of the Gobi style or the
I've seen the Gobi ones pop up. Yeah. And other than like the couple of houses that have the big shows, you know, that people you know park in front of their house and watch all night. Not in my neighborhood.
What is your, if so, say somebody from what you know right now, somebody's thinking like, I kind of need to up my light game. And these kind of, it goes in cycles, right?
Yeah.
You kind of like I didn't do it for years. And then I got sent these and I'm like, man, these are pretty cool. Like maybe I should get some more, you know?
Yeah. Kinda.
What would you, from what you've done, what would you recommend? How do you get started? If you were going to start on something simple. And this is a sickness that gets worse over time.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Put a few lights in and more lights and more lights. Where would you start? What would you do to get started?
The good thing is what you have and the Govies and all those things are very accessible, very easy to set up and very easy to use. And that's a good place to start, but it's not going to be a great place like you're identifying over time. You know, they may be up for a season or two and who knows how well they're going to weather and that kind of thing. I've had outdoor Gobi lights go bad easily, like the outdoor landscape lighting. If Florida, it kills everything. So I wasn't surprised. It just happened so quickly. It's like, this is supposed to be a waterproof light and I'm dumping water out of it, you know. How does that work? But I would say those are great places to start. If you know that you're going to be addicted and maybe want to do more, start looking at like Holiday Coral is one. There's a couple of other pixel LED things that sell different styles of lights. I actually have like the ones that run across the house are actually the C9 size. They're not the pixel ones, but I can change every one of those colors, right? They're just the big bulbs rather than the little ones. You can get those and then you can run this stuff. It's you got to do math. There's a lot of math involved because there's voltage draws and power supplies and all that stuff. If you don't start with their package kits, or you can call these people up and they'll just design you something. That's great. Like they'll just, here's everything you need and everything you'll ever want. Yeah. And you can just start buying. I would say if you know you're going to do this, you kind of need to start going that way. Start getting some strings of lights and gather things up and work that direction over time. You can start with like, I actually have, it's funny, I was sitting on my desk of, this is a ESP32, but this is a WLED. It's called Quin LED, Quin LED. These guys, this guy put together like a decent little WLED controller, and it's got a decent amount of power hookup to it. Let's just say that. And so it's got only like four channels or four or five channels that you can control, but you can hook a lot of power through this thing. So this is what I actually started off with. I started off with these Quin LEDs and then like went from there and went to, after a few years, I was like, I'm done. I'm buying the big boy stuff. Yeah. And I got the sequencer and everything like that. So, yeah.
Do you think this would be an area? We were talking about AI in the pre-show. By the way, pre-show is available on the live channel if you're a Patreon subscriber. If you want to hear, we talked about AI for a few minutes in the pre-show.
I'll get you back there.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think, though, this, okay, I complained. You just said math. And
yeah.
TJ was like, math, right? Do you think this might be an area, though, where tie this into Home Assistant, do some automations with AI, and let the AI do some of the math, so to speak, on this, where you could do some of this with AI? So to speak?
You could. I wonder how much it would. AI doesn't do math. Okay, so Jim, I need to have this conversation with you about AI, because I hear you talking about all the time, and there's some assumptions that you're making that I know that people have told you, because, yeah, all right.
Okay, go ahead.
These things, they're not AI. They're random number generators. You know, that's all they do. They just randomly generate numbers and they say, probably next word is better if I say it this way. Yeah. And that's all you're getting. And it's amazing that it comes out comprehensive, but it works.
Yeah, I know.
But it's a random, like at the root level, it's a random number generator. And that's why they can't add things up. So if it had all the tooling available. What I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about the programming. I'm talking about like the setup, the electrical math that you need to know, like how many, you know, how many little volts and watts and all that stuff. Like you have to know what the voltage drop is going to be from one end to the other. And that I wouldn't trust AI to do that.
Okay.
I would call this company up and ask them, or I would just do the math myself.
Yeah.
Figure out how far you need to go, do the math, see how many power supplies you're going to need. You're going to need a power supply every so many lights. And you got to figure out how to get that power there and also physically wired in. So there's a lot of electrical. There's a lot more electrical on this than almost anything I ever did in the low voltage industry for 20 years.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It is math. It's volts. It's, you know, it's
Ohm's law gets involved.
It's Ohm's law. Is Ohm's law. No, there's a lot of Ohm's law in there. Yeah, no, for sure. No, it's a good, it is a good reminder.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff I've been doing, of course, I've been actually writing, you know, programs for it. So that can do the math. Although it doesn't, we were talking about this before, you know, sometimes you ask it for a math question and it'll be wrong. And you'd be like, well, why didn't you get that right? It's like, well, it was a guess, or it was just, I was doing, what did one say to me? It was doing mental math. Oh yeah. I was doing mental math. No. Like, no, you're not allowed to do mental math. You're a freaking computer. Like, no, you can do this.
You're not a computer. You're a random number generator, and that's what it's doing, Jim.
It can do it. I know it can. It can do basic math.
That's where the tooling on AI comes in, really. And that's, so. I mean, I've been doing this for almost a year now, this on the agentic side, where I was not understanding what people were doing. We're trying to get into it. And setting up all this stuff, what people are using now came out in maybe September, October, November last year. And so that's when I was really starting to tinkering and realizing, like, oh, I'm not forget the one I'm talking to. I'm going to make the one I'm talking to go tell these other ones exactly, like the little small thing that it gets to do, and it's going to do that correctly.
Yeah.
And now they've added on tooling, which means that not only can you tell it to go do that, it has to cross-check and verify and actually run a program, basically, that says your math is correct.
Right.
Or, yeah, use the calculator skill tool.
Use the calculation feature. Yeah.
Exactly.
Inside of it. Yeah, yeah.
That's where things are now, and it's so much better. The things where people are having problems writing programs, it's just because they're tossing out one thing and saying, well, look, it doesn't work. I wrote a program for the show the other night, inspired by a 21 gang electrical switch.
Oh,
and
nice.
We were joking around on the show that, like, well, what if the electrician was just a madman and he put a bunch of three-way switches in and you didn't know which ones you turned on and what turned on what light, but you had to get the right sequence to turn on any light. And so I made a game that basically has the 21 gang switch and you get to flip the switch.
That's great.
Yeah. It gets harder. So it adds a light in, and it's just one prompt did that. But I had the entire tool chain set up behind it to make sure that it did everything right. And I cleaned up a little bit, but like it's really fun. It's a fun game, actually. So
no, right on. Listen, it's got me thinking. I mean, I think more like an engineer than I've ever thought before on processes. Like,
oh, okay, you think he's an engineer? I think I'm like a manager now.
Well,
it's horrible.
I mean, you're engineering. You're managing these processes, and I think oftentimes you have to think like an engineer. Like, hey, these things work this way.
You do still have to know how the computer works. You have to know that it's a random number generator and it's always going to do that. Yeah. But we're talking about AI. As far as AI goes, when it programs these things, I will say last year, I bought a bunch of these little like 5-inch string or 5-light strings, and I put them up in my yard. And if you go around, I forget what the guy who made them, they named it after him, but like you go around, you'll find like you can get these kits for these things. And, I just wanted to like put a bunch of them in and do like little like transition effects, right, throughout the yard. Mm-hmm. And the way that the software that you use called X-Lights, it's free and it's insane because it's you know, open source software developed over the past, you know, two decades. So it's a crazy program. Right. The way that you do it is you use what's called shaders, which is an even more insane way of programming. Like that's the video game graphics stuff. When they talk about shaders, they talk about this, and it's like three lines of code. And it gets these things to like do these little animations and jump up and down. And like, I don't know how it works,
Yeah.
But that is what you use LLMs for, because they can program shaders.
Yeah. No, right on.
That's math. I'm not going to, that's stuff I'm not going to get
involved. You don't want to know.
No.
You don't want to know. Yeah. LePro's got an app that's pretty good. And, you know, it says AI, but it's like you said, it's specialized. You say things like green, it'll bring up these different shades of green, and it gives you these different options in there, and you can kind of choose what you want and then turn those kinds of things on. I mean, personally, if I was going to go some route, I'd put all the addressable lights into Home Assistant and use the Home Assistant automations to track these things, because then all of a sudden now it does boil down to some, these are areas of things I want on and off, right? And then I could write, in that case, I could put some math behind it with Home Assistant to say, I want you to run these kinds of math equations, because that's all you're doing, right? You're running math equations to turn the lights on and off at certain addressable spaces at various times.
But Home Assistant won't have enough horsepower to do this.
Oh, yeah, maybe not. I think it could if you kept it light.
Home Assistant would have enough to send and say change to the sequence, but the entire sequence that you have, I mean, you have to consider that there's, in my small setup, there's probably 4,000 lights or 3,000 lights or whatever, but multiply that times three.
Yeah.
Because there's three different channels, DMX channels, for every one of those lights. Mm-hmm. And you're streaming that constantly out over the wire. This is unfortunately something I know very well, DMX lighting and how it works. You're streaming that constantly, and your computer resources, whatever you have it tied into, a Raspberry Pi might be able to do it, but it's only going to be able to do a few thousand lights. When you get into these bigger shows, the dedicated processors and computers they have set up to run them is the only way to do it.
No, right on. That's good
for
advice.
For your setup though, like
it's not
Home
it's
Assistant not can yeah like because yeah, you're not
talking. You
how
know,
many lights? Yeah, 30, 40?
I've got 300 feet, so there's quite a few in there.
So it's not every 10 feet. Yeah, it would be like every 4 or 5
feet. They're probably a foot apart.
Oh, okay.
In the making of it, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see. I set up a storm guard automation with my Home Assistant that monitors the National Weather Service and is constantly pulling in data from the National Weather Service.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we get a watch or a warning, it does a whole bunch of interactions to turn on batteries and flip things on and change stuff out. Now, is that changing 300 lights? No. Right.
Yeah.
So I've been pretty impressed. Certainly, I never figured out the Home Assistant automations until the AI started figuring them out for me.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is pretty interesting. Now we can do some cool things with this and getting it monitored on a regular basis. But you're in this business, so you're probably a lot smarter than me along those lines of trying to figure out all those pieces. Just to me, it seemed like I don't want to keep track of all those addresses, so to speak, that
exactly
on those lights and getting those all in some place and then telling something, now do these things with those lights. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's what the sequencer will do. The sequence, like X lights, will do. You can set it up and have it trigger. Like Home Assistant can trigger the different sequences and files to play if you wanted. Yeah. But for the most part, I just let it run, and every 5 minutes it changes or something like that, and the house looks different. Yay! So
yeah, no, it's good.
Keep it simple.
It's way nerdy. Yeah, no, it's way nerdier. I you got me thinking along those whole, I forget what you call them, but the lights you'd put in front of your house, the floodlights, the floodlights, that actually is one of those areas you could probably get a lot of lighting for not a lot of lights to on your house if you have a light that way, right? A way to get, 6 or 8 or 10 of those things would light up a lot of the house, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think I have about 10 of them out there, and they're not very big. So you can get them close to the house and, have them all the same color, or you can change it, your house, into a big candy cane, and have it look like that. Yeah. So it's not like you're lighting up the entire house with it. You can light up little sections. And light's fun. I work for a a lighting company now, and like light's weird because it's like a thing you can't see until it reflects off something else, and it's really hard to wrap your mind around how that works. But like if you just get a big light, if it doesn't have a reflect off anything, it doesn't make any light. So it's really weird how that works.
Yeah, well, you think you got a light out on your lawn. If it's shining, what you're seeing, is it reflecting off dust or...
Yeah.
Right? That's what you're seeing.
Atmosphere.
If it was in a vacuum, you don't
see it. Never seen. Never was there.
Until it hits your eyes.
Has to reflect off something, yeah.
Yeah, no, right on. Right on. Yeah, we'll have to try that. I'll have to think about that. Those floodlights may be the next step for me, right? Because I've got the... Out front, I have the pro lights,
mm-hmm.
but I could put some of those floodlights in and augment that, tie those together, and
Govee makes some. I like the. They had ones that are flat that look like the ones you just pulled up on from Holiday Coral, and those were the ones that weren't good. They had some that were, I think they were like Pro Outdoor or something like that, and they had a metal container, like it looked like a Coke can type thing. It's one of those light floodlights. They looked really nice. I would recommend those over it. I made those last a little bit longer than the other ones. I actually broke them and tore them apart. Then it wasn't the weather.
Why did you break them apart?
Because I wanted to use them. I wanted to connect them up to this WLAD thing and not use the Govee software because I'm like that. And
makes sense.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you've got all that low voltage background, so that makes sense, right?
Yep.
You want to wire those, bring them in, control them on your own.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are they easy, or are they fairly easy to modify, or do you have to really, because a lot of these things, like they're molded plastic, you're not getting into them very easy.
You can get into them. There's only a couple of chips out there that exist. The problem with Govee is how they hooked up basically the channels on the chip to run, because it has, that particular one had the RGB lights in it, but it also had the two white lights. So you could do a nice, low end would have probably been about 2000K, and then high end would have been about 5500K. You can pick your white balance on that, or you could switch over to the color lights and use it that way. Govee, the way they did it is they kind of ran the output on their chip to be just slightly different than the way anyone else would have done it. So when you went to program it in WLAD, it never quite matched up. It didn't quite work. Mm. You could hack around it, but it was just kind of like you had to skip every other channel. It was weird.
Okay.
So I would recommend get the Govees and use the Govee software. I wouldn't recommend what I did.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not everybody's going to want to do it.
Don't take your things and just tear them apart randomly one day and decide you're going to do it.
You can, if you want to figure out, that's how I learned my first computer. Was a buddy came over back in the 386 days, took apart my computer and then left. And I had,
And that was back when, like, you could put things in backwards by accident.
You could, and blow stuff up. And
the mouse and the keyboard had the same connector and the same color on it. It wasn't pink and blue. Who had that? No, you had to read the little label was the same color as the case.
It was ugly. I barely got it back together. Let's just be clear about that. But, yeah, you got to be careful along those lines. Well, and then one more thing, these floodlights, this may even be, so you're listening to this show and you're like, I'm not going to do Christmas lights or I'm not going to do holiday lights, but these would make great security lights around your house as well.
Landscape and lighting.
They can be landscape or security in the sense that you could have a sensor tied to them, turn up, somebody comes in, it lights up the house. And that's actually to your point about, you can't see light until it shines against something. Sometimes we think security lighting needs to point out, right? We want to put that light on, out there. You could bring light onto the house. And of course that lights up. If once it hits your house, it kind of luminesces
everything. How light works. Yeah.
Right. And so you don't necessarily need to always point the light out to make it a security light.
You're making your house the light and not relying on the tiny little light to shine out and get the whole yard. If you light up your entire surface of your house, it's going to reflect out and make it more visible in your yard and everything. And it's going to look nice too. With those, especially the Govees, like I just left them on, unless a holiday came up, I would just leave them on the white LEDs, turn them on every night. And they were just regular landscape lights. Nobody knew any different until like Mardi Gras comes around, you know, and you've got purple, blue, purple, green, and gold out there. So, yeah.
I like Mardi Gras. I need to program Mardi Gras.
Exactly.
Why have I not done a Mardi Gras? I'm thinking Easter, right? I'm always around Mardi Gras. I'm always thinking like, well, Easter's coming. We're going to get the Easter colors in there. Although sometimes Mardi Gras and St. Patrick's Day conflict.
They overlap. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, what am I going to do?
St. Patrick's Day is one day. Mardi Gras is an entire season.
I go green for a couple weeks. All right. Enough on lighting. I think some good options, some good opportunities there. Doesn't always need to be about holiday or mood lighting. There's some security stuff in there. You told me, we were talking on the pre-show, you told me you've given up on your gas mower. You went all electric, but not robot? Like, okay, you got robot too?
I got two robots, yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Talk a little bit about what you got and what you're using.
Like Gavin, way back, I don't know, about a year or two ago, we got hooked up with Navimos, and TJ, unluckily, he bought one for some reason, and then we had them on the show, and they were like, "Yeah, we're gonna send you some." And then TJ's like, "I already have one." They're like, "Oh, we're not gonna send you like a thank you note or something." I don't know. Yeah. So I got mine, and Gavin got his, and we're mowing our lawns with them. And they're like the little i3 series. So for Gavin, I think it worked well. I think he had to do some modifications to it. Mine, again, Florida grass, it's not what you think. This stuff is mean. It will fight back, and it does. And so for the i3, it just didn't really work all that great in my lawn. And I told them that when we were, they're like, "Oh, we got a bigger wind coming out. We're going to send that to you." So they sent me another one. Just one day, this 80-pound box shows up, and this UPS guy is like looking at me like, what is this, man? Like, what are you doing to me? I'm like, I didn't even know they were sending this. So I unload the thing, and it works better. And the thing is with the grass here, though, I can't cut it low. The grass I have, Bahia grass, yeah, something like that. Okay. And it's like a Florida grass, and it likes to be like 4 inches tall.
Yeah.
And you
Bermuda,
can't.
Is it a Bermuda style? So it's kind of carpety, or is it?
It's not carpety. No, it'll cut your feet. No, it's like walking on glass. Yeah, we don't.
It is literally dangerous.
Yes, Florida. Okay. There's spiders and stuff out there. I don't know. Like, yeah, you don't want to mess with Florida grass. Okay. It will fight you.
All right.
So, and it's a battle you will lose.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah,
sure.
It's a native grass though. And during the winter, if you don't water your lawn, it will turn like this brown, you know, it'll stop growing. It'll die out for the winter and then it'll come back. Yeah. But it is, as soon as it rains, it shoots straight up and it will grow fast. So that's what the little, the robot has been pretty good at doing. Last year, kind of around this time, I noticed that there was something going on out in the yard, and like I was getting these weird like dead patches. And then actually it was right around Halloween, Christmas time, when I was setting up like through December, I noticed I was getting like these clumps of dirt that were popping up. And so I had moles, and the moles were eating the grubs, which had killed all the grass. So another good things that LLMs are actually pretty good at is telling you how to treat your grass. Now I've got a beautiful, lush lawn.
They are. How did you get rid of the moles?
What did they tell you? I killed the grubs. There was absolutely nothing else you can do. Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. They have traps. They have poisons.
No, they don't.
Nothing worked.
No, nothing worked.
Yeah. You kill their food and they just go away. They find
some other. That's a good idea. Yeah. You do end up killing a lot of beneficial other things.
Oh, do I? I don't care. Dirt in my lawn. Like the whole thing was dead.
And some of those kinds of things, which are really good. But to your point, you know, if you kill them for a season, the moles just go to your neighbors, basically.
Yeah, they're just hanging out next door somewhere.
This is what they do. You just drive them over to your neighbors. TJ had said out in chat, he had said, we were supposed to get the new ones, the new mowers, but the guy got canned.
The PR company we were working with got, they changed to a different PR.
And then Uncle Marv, who's down there, says, how do you pronounce that? Baja and Bermuda are Bahia. Two different types.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce that?
Bahia.
Bahia. Okay.
It's like an Argentine Bahia grass. And it likes to grow tall. The way Florida works, I don't know if you know this, like, we have literally every day somebody mowing the lawn out here, and it's not people that live here, it's like companies that come in and they will mow the lawn and then throw whatever grass they had in that lawnmower from the previous yard in your yard. So over time, it doesn't matter what grass you have. I have both of those types in my lawn.
It all blends together.
That's all blends together. Yeah.
All blends together. Yeah. That's why I mow my own lawn. That's why.
The only hope it just comes from the neighbors. The only hope I have is that the Florida grass, if you cut it high and above four inches, it's supposed to smother out all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Just because it's native. That is the top end of the X3 that I have. So as it mows around the lawn, if the grass starts getting high, it's like, nah, I'm done. Yeah. I can't do this. And you'll start seeing it doing patches. So it has to mow every day now.
Okay.
It is out there every day.
In the summer.
Yeah. Right now. It's summer, right? Am I missing? Yeah. It's been mowing all summer, every day.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, if I miss a day, you know, we're talking, you know, 2 feet high grass before I can get to it. So,
but okay. So those are the robots, but did you get a new mower? You got a new electric mower?
I got the electric mower. Yeah. The gas mower worked great until it didn't. And then I was like, I don't want to deal with gas anymore. I don't want to deal with the oil. I don't want to deal with the smelling. I don't want to rebuild the carburetor. I'm done.
Yeah.
So I found the electric mower on Facebook Marketplace, just picked one up. I already had the, weed eater from, Ego. The weed eater and the blower. And I really like the system that they had set up. The battery's large, lasts forever. So I got the mower, bought a couple of batteries off Amazon, some generic batteries. They work great. And they're like 10 point something amp hour batteries. This is crazy. They're like big chunky
things.
They're
chunky, right?
Yeah.
They're like a conk. It's very satisfying when they land.
Yeah, you don't want to carry it anymore. Yeah. Big old lithium battery.
Does it have a cover? You got a cover. You put them in, ka-conk, and then you put the cover over the top.
Cover goes over the top.
Screen. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they do that, because you can't see. Like, it has these little tiny lights on it that you're supposed to be able to see when the battery is dying. I never see them. The battery just cuts out. I'm just like, dying. Oh, yeah.
And it's really good until it's not. And then you're like,
it's off. Yeah. And you're like, what happened? Did I let go of the bar? And you turn it back on and it runs for 2 seconds. The battery's dead. Yeah. And then the best part of those batteries is, when you take them out, they're hot, and they won't charge for another 10.
Not hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got to cool them down.
You got to cool them down. So I have my setup now that it's like 100 degrees outside,
right,
is I have a big fan, and I put them next to the fan and let them cool down for a little bit and then plug them in. And it whenever they get ready, they come back. And,
now, if they were sodium, they would be, you know, there's these new sodium batteries.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've heard
now
about
them. They're like twice as heavy. That's not true. Like, let's say 1.5, 1.5 or 1.3, something along those lines.
Yep.
But they're heavier, but they can charge both in both high temperature and low temperature.
Yep.
But the weight is the problem. All of a sudden, you're going to have giant arms and giant thighs from pushing this mower. When do you pull out? Yeah. So when do you pull out the electric mower? Like, why are you,
so
what do you have to do that for?
The Navimo, and I don't know, they've probably gotten a little bit better. Mine seems to have gotten progressively worse at this, but it's
2 years old or 3 years old.
It's like a software thing. It doesn't like to get near the edge of things.
Okay. Edge anxiety.
Yeah. It like stays away from the edge where the concrete sidewalk is, right? And so over time, the grass gets higher and it's like that edge is moving on me. So over time, it starts moving out like this, and you get like a nice little stripe of, you know, taller grass. So that's what you just need the lawnmower to zip over that. And then down by the street, the yard goes in, well, I don't have like a curb. It just kind of like goes into the culvert or the ditch or whatever. I don't know, not a ditch. It just goes into the street. And the street gutter, I guess, it doesn't have a curb for it. So what happens is the lawnmower would get to the edge and it would just fall into the street and it can't get out. It can't get back. So it's like stuck
it's
in
lost.
It's outside of its area. So it just gives up on life and it stops running. And so there've been like days where I'm like taking out the garbage cans and I'm down at the street and my lawnmower is sitting out in the street like on garbage day. I can only imagine. So
it just gets taken. Are you afraid of that? Like somebody's like, well,
I'm not scared of somebody taking it. I'm scared of it running out in the street and then somebody, like, oh, what's this guy getting rid of? Let me take that and runs off with it. But so I've built in like a 2-foot barrier between the street just in case it runs into a hole or a mole knocks it off. And of course, I don't know.
Well, you don't have moles anymore. The moles are gone.
They were there last year and it caused enough problems. So
yeah. I can imagine. There's when I was in the military, we were down in Panama, and they have these little crabs that come. They walk sideways across the street, and cars used to run over them all the time. And that's what I imagine.
Yeah.
The lawnmower would be like if it got out in the street. You know, you'd come out, and there'd just be pieces of the lawnmower if somebody ran it over.
My mailman would do that. I have video of him. Where I put my garbage cans, I can't move them. So the garbage company comes and they pick up the cans and they just drop them down. Like where it's near their mailbox. He doesn't get out of the mail truck. What he does is pushes it slowly and then drives off. It's like, what are you doing? You can do my garbage cans halfway out in the street down that way.
Pushes it slowly.
Like, knock it over.
He's not getting out of the vehicle.
No, he's not getting out. It's too hot. No.
So there's some areas because the robots, there's certain areas they can't get to, right? So that's what you need the push mowers for.
And
is the electric mower, is it like compared to the gas? I mean, I'm in that situation where I got a 10-year-old mower and I've stopped changing the oil. I've stopped messing with the spark.
Trying to kill it. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that because my wife's listening to me right now. I'm just saying, right? And so those things, like as much as you try to kill them, they last forever. But you're using the push mower for the side stuff. Is that right?
Just the extra around the edges. And then right now, the back, we have a pretty big steep hill that goes down into, it's a creek, but not quite. It has a seawall, but after the county hasn't ever kept up with the creek, so it just kind of filled in. So now there's like 10 feet of land on the other side of my seawall. It can get next to that, where that seawall is, it can just fall over and fall into the creek, which again, not really the creek.
Yeah. No, not really what you want.
Yeah. And with this model, it's better. The other one couldn't do it. With this model, it's a little bit better, but I have to put it, I can only let it mow at certain angles and it can get up and down the hill just fine. Not straight up and down though. Can't do that. And then if the grass decides that it just wants to be mean, it'll smack it and it'll turn around and go the other way.
You're not coming here.
Not cutting me. Yeah. And what happened was you'll start getting these little patches of growths, like little round patches
grass islands.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a thing. I've watched folks, like we've all seen the ads of these robot lawnmowers and, you know, it's somebody sitting out there with a cup of coffee. And they're watching the robot, mow their lawn. And they're like, that's really nobody. You know that, right? That's nobody's situation, right? You know.
Where I think they would really do well, and it just may be timing or just getting the price down a little bit more, is these guys that are, you know, out there every day, wow, 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 with their blowers and stuff. Like, they could deploy these as a fleet. You know, in a fleet and monitor them remotely and go out and just change the blades once a week and do the, you know, trim up the edges. For maintenance, this thing's great because my lawn is mowed out front and on the side and in the back, but not the hill. The hill is 2 feet high right now. Yeah. For the most part, I don't have to do anything with that. It takes 15 minutes to tidy up every weekend now. And, you know, if I miss it, you know, it looks weird for the next week.
I also think they're not big enough. Like, that's just been, you know.
Mine's definitely not.
If you see these and you're like, oh, yeah, that's not big. Yarbo, which that's a big tank. Like, and they've actually made smaller versions of the Yarbo. Like, they're like, oh, we have a smaller version now. And I'm like, no, that's probably the right size for what. What you're trying to do your point, right, is that under perfect conditions, I think they work great. You miss something, you go on vacation, and all of a sudden your robot gets stuck on the first day of vacation, and now the lawn, you're getting back, and the lawn's, you know.
Absolutely happened.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And so I think I'd like to see them a little bit bigger, and I know that's not sexy for people, but, and they'd be more expensive. here's my problem. I mean, they're just so freaking expensive. You know, you're like, God, how can I justify that when I could pay a guy to come out and, you know?
I say that. I say that all the time. Yeah, I don't. I do not want to mow the lawn anymore. And like,
I'm with you.
It's just it takes too much time. It's a quarter of an acre. Most of it is a hill that gets direct sunlight in the summer.
Yeah.
While I'm out there in the heat, it's not fun. Yeah, so.
I understand. I came in the other day and it was a typical Nebraska. It was 110 degrees out there. You know, it's August. It's a million degrees.
The corns are really sweating.
And I said to Sarah, this is how I die. Like, I just want to be clear. Someday, this is how I die. Like, I'm going to be out in August. I should probably get a robot lawnmower to do this kind of thing. However, I've got a lot of obstacles in my yard. So I would need to get my yard. You almost need to get your yard set up for it because I've got some areas it would have to get over and get through, and like it's rough terrain, and it's like, and I'm okay with it when I'm mowing because I'm mowing.
Right.
You know? And I was like, well, okay, I'm gonna have to spend a little bit. If I do that, if I go down that route, I'm gonna really need to smoothen out my lawn a little bit in some spots. You know, I've got some bricks out there that are a little high.
Yep.
You know? So
we had a spot in the front of our yard where we actually had a tree at one point in time. It was a giant camphor tree. And this thing was great. It looked beautiful when we bought the house, and we hired this guy to come trim it. And I'll never forget. I came around the corner and saw him like, oh, they came out. They didn't tell me they were coming out, and they had chopped off like a branch of this tree. I mean, this thing was probably 20 inches wide. And I'm like, I didn't want you to cut that. And he's like, oh. And it's already ground up, you know? Yeah. He's like, it was going towards the house. I'm like, it wasn't going that close. Like, it's been there for 100 years, that big. And so, you know, that basically kills trees. You know, you can't damage them that much. So within 5 years, we had to remove it. And what it did is it just left this big hole where the roots were, you know, and over time, those are rotting underneath there. And it just sinks down. So that my project this year, along with my friend Henry, because he actually helped me out, was to figure out how to fill that in over time, when to plant grass seed on it, like how to do all those steps. I had like a little thing, a nice little schedule to go by.
So, you kind of don't realize that tree, as it's rotting, is heating up, and then it'll kill any grass you try. Like, a lot of folks grind those things down, mm-hmm, and they just throw a little. Just throw some grass seed in there. And the grass at first is like, this is awesome. And then it doesn't last very long.
It's all mushrooms.
And then it's dead. Yeah. Mushrooms are dead. And then you're like, oh, why didn't that? And then you're throwing seed on it constantly, right?
Yeah.
And you got to get some dirt in there. And you got to let it cool off for a while. You know, you got to really let that root die. And, and then you got to stop it from coming back. Like, you know, trees aren't around because they die easy. And so, like, all of a sudden, it starts shooting up trees around your yard, trying to those roots will try to come back sometimes.
You know? This one was looking sick, and it didn't want to come back. So
that's good. You got lucky. We had a neighbor cut down a tree, and it sent roots. It sent shoots up into all the neighbors' yards. Like, I'm not going to die. Like, dang it! So a little work there. Well, hey, real quick, I don't want to run out of time and not let you talk about your large format CNC. What in the world, Seth, are you doing? Okay, first of all, what do you have? What's a large format CNC? Why'd you get it?
So a large format CNC for my purposes is something that can cut basically a 4x8 sheet of plywood, right? Okay. And I've seen these on like Facebook and stuff. And they're thousands of dollars on like, you know, to buy them. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I just want to play around with them. I ran across this company, Maslow, that was making a kit where you can assemble a CNC out of like a DeWalt, a standard DeWalt router, and like this kit that you buy for a few $100. And you put it all together using 1.5 million screws. Oh my God. Yes, that bag of screws right there, you will use those. And they're smaller than they look in that picture.
You get 10 of them, actually, right?
Oh,
you get 10
God.
Bags of these.
It is so many of these little, everything had a screw in it. Like, it was all well put together, but oh my gosh, that was the rough, I ended up using a magnet and some like another tool to like try and push those things into place where they needed to be. That was the worst part. And there's a million of them. But if you get past all that, you get this thing. Oh my gosh, it's heavy. This robot out of it. And it's really cool. Can you see this? All right.
Yeah. You're full screen.
All right. So it's got stepper motors and everything on here. So it can go up and down. These little stepper motors down here. The control board sits on top. And then it's got these other motors that pull these like geared things in and out. So there's four of these. So the idea is, I got to put this down. All right. The idea is that you run the lines out into four different corners and that ride the middle of it. Oh, and that has some calibration. And you put the board underneath there and it the router can move up and down. You know, you have X, Y, and Z axis. And it can do all the things that a large format CNC can do. So,
On wood,
right? Well, I'm sure I could do any other material.
So? Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, right. So you can do metal.
I mean, there's a way. I wouldn't say metal. I would say like I'm thinking like plastics and that kind of thing.
Okay. All right. Softer kind. Maybe not metal. I was thinking of some of those jet CNCs that cut.
They have like and then oil and stuff that you have to spray in. Yeah,
they do.
That's not
special bits, special diamond tip bits or whatever. I don't know.
It's funny, the instructions on there that, you know, getting started, one of the preparation steps at the top is like, make sure you have fire suppression available.
<It's> like, really?
So, yeah, it's a step you may want to take. And like,
so
yeah.
Kind of a completely DIY, right, on this. I mean, they're sold out now, but $500 for the kit, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm assuming you can see here, this is the video of the wires, right? Yep. It connected to the corners. How hard was it to calibrate it? I mean, I imagine that'd be a little bit.
So I haven't done that part yet. Okay. It's not very hard, though. It's like a button you press, and it's got like some software that it's all open source too, which is, it's kind of interesting. But the guy has written a bunch of stuff that you can actually hang it like that and let it ride up and down. So it can take up less space if you want. But I was reading on there that it doesn't work as well. So what I ended up getting was, they're over there. I bought way too many of them. I bought like a whole bag of them, 'cause that's all I could find at Ace Hardware, is like a concrete, screw that you would use for, we use them for like hurricane things here, but like, you pound it into the concrete and then you put a bolt in. So I've got four of those. I'm going to put them outside. They're stainless. I think the bolts are stainless. Those are lead or something. So,
but you could build a table for this if you wanted to, right? You could build a table that had corners, be easy to use.
You could, a big enough table. Yeah. It really works well on the floor, like they were showing in that video, though. So yeah. I'm just gonna put these in the driveway. No one's ever gonna notice. Yeah. And I'm gonna make noise. No.
Well, you're at the end of a cul-de-sac. Yeah. That's why no one's gonna notice.
But it's gonna be very noisy. Yeah. there's no HOA here. Clearly.
Your neighbors would be like, well, that kid, that's Seth kid.
Well,
sure is crazy.
My neighbor's deaf over there, and everybody, the other three have kids, so they're loud anyway. So it's nice. I'm in a good spot here, but yeah.
So on the ground, you'd put it on the ground, you'd put something on top of it, and then you'd have it cut the plywood.
Yeah.
What are you cutting? Like what kind of things would you cut out of plywood?
So that's a good question. I haven't decided yet. There's all sorts of stuff on their website, but I am thinking like some of these, like maybe even like Christmas and Halloween decorations.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Could you do it with the lighting thing? We saw those, the light bright lighting things.
You can poke holes. It's got a round drill bit. You can just poke all the holes you want. So yes, the answer is yes.
You can make those.
You can make them.
You could marry, this whole podcast comes together now.
It all comes together now. Yeah.
It started with light bright and finishes with Maslow. Maslow? Is that what's the name of it?
Maslow. Yeah. Maslow CNC is online. You can see how they work. It's a clever little contraption. It's all open source. So of course you can point your favorite LLM friend at it and say, make me something.
I'm going to.
Yes, I'm going to.
Yeah. You give Henry the role of being the CNC-er.
He'll be the CNC-er. I'll be the fireman and we'll see what that comes out.
It'll be like the Iron Man where they got the robot that is the, 'cause Tony Stark has the robot that just had the fire extinguisher. He'd be like, don't don't do it. All over you.
I'm having fun.
When you're done. You think, would you really deploy AI for something like this? Do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
What's the advantage of that, do you think?
There's an entire site I found the other day. I think we have it on our chat somewhere. I'll send you in the chat. That you can just tell AI what you want to 3D print and it will draw it up and create it. And you can 3D print it from there. So like these things are really
you told me it doesn't know any math. How can it just do that? It doesn't know any math.
It doesn't know math. It can randomly say and do things, but you have to, if you give it the tools and a golden path to follow, it will follow it every time.
It's kind of like the monkeys. If you get enough monkeys in a room with typewriters, eventually you'll get War and Peace.
That's what we're at.
Just do it so much faster these
days. At a very fast scale. Yeah, exactly. There's the private chat here.
That is great. Oh yeah, throw that in the private chat, and I'll include that in the show notes as well.
There's my game there too, if you want to play it.
Yeah. No, nice. I like it. Seth, what's coming up on hometech.fm? What you guys got any things you want to talk about from a show perspective? Anything you're excited about? You talked about Cydia coming in, but
Cydia is coming in on there. Yeah. There's so much going on with Home Tech right now because I'm using all my tokens this week before they go away.
You bet.
with Claude, I'm using all the Fable tokens. I'm making the back end services better, which you know hopefully will make a better show, like produce show and that kind of thing.
Like from a producing standpoint, is that
okay? Yeah, we have like a fully customized. Like show board where we throw in and collect all our show notes all week. And we had this in various formats for years. We've had like Trello and, you know, Atlassian bought them, they went away. And then we had like WeCan, which is like an open source version that's pretty horrible. And that kept crashing. So now I just made my own. And it has all the features, exactly the features and only the features that we want to have for the show. And then we have a little projects piece that we like do every week. And like, what are you guys working on? And we talk about our projects. And now we've got a DTF board, which means did they finish, I guess.
So
if you go to hometech.fm, you can go to the DTF board there.
You're the leader on finishing in that and on that board? Is that?
No, I don't think so. Although there's a big announcement from Gavin this week that he may have finished a project that's been going on for a couple months now.
I have to have Gavin back on. We'll have to talk about this finished product.
but that whole piece, like making that and making our photoshopped images that we have on there of us in tuxedos, all that, you know, of course, is driven by AI. But like the back end piece where now we have our show, if we reference a project, I can just type that in and bring it into the show and it gets put into the show notes and reference back to that. So, yeah, it's been fun to put things into the show. But not a lot going on with technology right now because everybody's waiting for Apple to announce things, right?
But after it's going to be $1 million. Like, we're back. We've gone back to the early or to the late 70s, early 80s, where computers were super expensive and no one could afford them.
Yeah.
And we're back. I'm sorry, friends. I lived through that and you didn't, but this is what it felt like.
It was great when it was a commodity and everybody,
It was, you know, a laptop was $5,000 in 1980 dollars.
I have one of those.
You know, yeah.
I have an HP.
It's a brick. Somewhere. It's just a brick.
It's very heavy. It has that lead battery you like talking about.
Yeah, lead acid battery.
Yeah, it's up there. I took it. It's an HP 110 or something like that.
Probably.
And it's got the clicky keyboard and everything, but it was $8,000.
Clicky clap. Yeah, you would open it up. The screen was about that big.
It's like this. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's super. It's just, we're back. We're back.
Got Lotus 1-2-3 on it. It's all I needed.
We're back to those days. Do you think, this is bonus content now. One, is there an AI bubble and will it burst?
There is a bubble in some respects, but I don't think it's going to burst. I think it's just going to like fizzle along for a long time.
Okay. Slow burn on the way out.
The money, there's
a lot of money.
Everybody's like saying they're giving away things, but like right now there's like, they're making 90% margin on their token sales on the enterprise side. Like they're making good money. So as long as they keep making
some money.
they're making a lot of money. I think they're just kind of shuffling it off on the side because they know it's going to burst too.
Maybe they're hoarding it the thing, away from the investors. Like, we're going to need this to survive.
I definitely think there will be some companies like maybe OpenAI that don't survive but that's always going to happen with any new industry.
For 100%.
The cool thing is like today you can go download models that work just as well as models. Yeah. You download them, save them. They're going to work forever. Like they're going to keep working. So as good as models did from like the beginning of this year, they work just as good. You can download those, save them to when you have a computer or somebody makes an easy program for them to run them. And then you have the ChatGPT thing on your computer and you're good to go.
Or if the bubble does burst and we see hardware prices drop again and
buy. It's not happening. They're not, you think they're not going to go down? Yeah. They're going to make all the money.
You're right. All of the money.
Yes.
They're going to make all of the money. Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right. Interesting times. I always tell folks, like, don't buy stuff right now if you don't have to.
Not a good time.
No, it's not a good time. I was fortunate to get some hardware and hold on to it. I've got plenty of storage space.
That's my problem. I had a drive die the other day and it was like a few, like it was a 4 terabyte, right?
Yeah.
Not the end of the world. But I have some 12 terabyte drives that I did not buy these 12 terabyte drives new. They are the, refurbished on Amazon ones. Uh-huh. And I was getting them for $100. They are longer $100.
Nope. They are not. So, no. They're more expensive when they were 3 years ago.
Yes.
When they were
brand new.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. There was some conversation going on in the chat when we first got started, and there was some talk of hard drives that are out there, and it's certainly an interesting space. I bought a bunch. I've got, I don't know, maybe 100 terabytes or so just sitting right now at this point, but I'm keeping it. I've got an Unraid server that if drives die, I'm going to replace it. Just kind of waiting to see what happens with this.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a 3060, which is not the greatest GPU in the world way back in the day, but you can run some models that. Doesn't suck running some of the smaller models that do some interesting things, right? From that, it's got 128 gig of RAM on that box. Kind of glad I maxed out that box when I bought it, just because now that stuff, and I should be smart to sell it because it would be worth twice what I paid for it then. Just get rid of it. But it's just, it's nice to have something hanging around.
Yeah. I have these since my friend Gavin's here, he suckered me into buying all these like server things that I have. And I bought this Dell server and it's great, but like it has two processors in it. It's got 192 gig of RAM and I've got two Tesla P somethings in them. No, they're not P's. They're somethings, but they're fairly modern and they run some of the models fast, not as fast as the Mac Mini.
No. but you don't have unified memory in there, right? So it's just different.
It did. I did some machine learning on it the other day.
Yeah.
You use Alphonic by any chance?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. I did. I used it a lot. But then I was like, you know what? I know what I want my stuff to sound like. I know what I want the show to sound like. I know what our voices sound like. Let's set this up. And I basically trained the model to get rid of all the echoes and everything. Alphonic, great software. I will still use it because there are times that this thing doesn't work. But for the most part, all our voices get processed through a model that I made. And it gets rid of all of the echoes and backgrounds complete. Yeah. All of our voices have been AI for quite some time, if you don't know that. It's really cool. Really cool.
Is it is it cleaning the artifacts out of it, or are you actually changing? Are you actually overriding the voice data?
Both,
because it's coming out. Both. Okay.
Both. Yeah, it gets rid of all of the background echoes. That's the hardest thing. You can't really do that with traditional DSPs. Just getting that removed was such a pain every week. I found Alphonic, great product. I mean, bringing that to trade shows, I have to edit back in the trade show audio.
Yeah.
So people would believe that we're on the trade show floor.
No, for sure.
I'm not even kidding. Sure. It's amazing what they do. They have such a good software.
How do you feel it does with inflection? I mean, we humans, we do some weird things and the AI wants to standardize our inflections as opposed to letting them be unique based on the situation? Do you find it's able to follow our inflection?
I'm not replacing our voices that much. Again, this is AI means a lot of things. This is more like machine learning where it's like, I've heard this voice before. Right. This is what it should sound like. It needs to get rid of this, this, and this. And it removes those elements out. That's all. So it's a very surgical thing.
Last week when the podcast failed for me, you know, I was on because TJ didn't tell me he couldn't hear me on the, you know, when I was doing the podcast. Thanks, TJ.
Hey, when I was here last, it was Restream. Now, and last week it was TJ's. So
yeah, no, we can blame it on TJ solidly. So next time he's on, he'll solidly rebuke me for that, but it's okay. It's okay. But as I was working with, so I thought, you know what, maybe I'll do some stuff with 11 Labs and see if I can recreate, you know, give it a script and see what I can do from a recreation standpoint. And it just was not good. I messed with it for a while and I was like, this is the problem is text to speech is still, if you know the person, it's unlistenable.
Yeah.
Like if you don't know the person and you're kind of like, oh, okay, this isn't too bad. I knew my audience would absolutely come to my house with pitchforks and torches and come after me for like doing this AI podcast.
AI podcast?
I'm not going to do it.
I did that as a joke the other day. I'd used 11 Labs. I made TJ's Gavin's voice and I made it as an advertisement for Home Tech AI. Okay. And you know, to get the stories ahead of time or whatever. Sure. And it's like it was an from time to time, I have some fake AI advertisements. Yeah. I'll send you the audio after the show.
I like it. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, it was Friday night and I thought, oh, this could be. And then I was like, no, not gonna put this one.
No, it's very like flat, right? It doesn't have.
It is flat. Yeah. Which I don't think it has to be, you know, I think, and maybe, you know, throw enough processing at it and enough money at it and it could be better.
Look, right. Look at those Google podcast things that they make. Those sound pretty good. They don't
only
sound,
because you don't know those people. That's why you don't know those people. Good.
But they program, you know, all that in, right? Yeah. So like they don't have to worry about learning a voice. You know, your voice. They learned one voice.
Totally.
Very well.
No, yeah. Totally. Where it really showed is at the very beginning of the show. I say in the same tone every time. This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks. Like I've said that a thousand times. I could not get it to do that cadence to save my life.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just that's poor AI on my standpoint. Now, what I should have just done is made a copy of the last time I did it and just blended it in.
Yeah.
Who would have known? That'd have been smart. That would have been smart too. Well, Seth, thanks for coming back. Thanks for putting up with a failure a couple weeks ago. Appreciate you and appreciate you coming on. Always great to spend time with you. You and Gavin and TJ over at hometech.fm. If you haven't caught that podcast yet, you might want to. Way nerdier than here for sure. And I mean, they have Gavin as a service. So how can you not want Gavin as a service? So check it out today, hometech.fm. Can you hang tight for me one sec?
Yeah, Seth? Absolutely.
A couple things on the way out. One, don't forget the averageguy.tv powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting. There's still a need for hosting these days. So hosting that you need to trust. Check it out today, maplegrovepartners.com. I think I have Christian coming back here at some point. Let me look on the schedule.
His shows are great. I love listening.
He's that dude. That dude is so freaking smart.
So like, smart.
He is. He's forgotten more than I will ever know. Let's just be really clear about that. Jay Franzi's up next week. I've got an open spot, but then Mike Wieger's back. I got Phil Hawthorne coming back. Phil was out there chat a little bit. Phil, thanks for it's noontime for him on the other side, the other side of the world. And then Christian's coming up here in October, right after Phil. You can join us live most Thursdays, although I say that, and then I was off for 3 weeks, but most Thursdays, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, now here at theaverageguy.tv/live. We'd love to have you join us, too. Always have a good time, and we'd love to have you come out here and join us. For those of you listening live, I think I saw Phil out there earlier, but Gavin, Brian, Phil's out there. Phil, thanks for joining us. Gavin, Brian, Kevin, and Uncle Marv was out there. TJ, good group tonight. With that, I'll say goodbye.
where the screens glow bright and the Wi-Fi peaks. If you're looking for the tech talk you can actually keep, then settle on in with Home Gadget Geek.